Shalom. I'm Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and we welcome you to this week's Focus Israel Report. In this week's report, we're going to share with you a preview of the upcoming Israeli elections scheduled for January the 22nd. The Jewish people in Israel are quite diverse. There are ultra-Orthodox, Orthodox, traditional, and secular Jews. Traditional and secular Jews outnumber the ultra-Orthodox and Orthodox Jews. The two main classifications of Jews are Ashkenazi and Sephardic. Ashkenazi Jews are those Jews who are associated with living historically in the regions of Eastern Europe. Sephardic Jews consist of those Jews who historically lived in Northern Africa and Spain. Israel has a large Jewish population from Russia who came to Israel with the fall of the former Soviet Union beginning in the late 1980s and early 1990s. These groups of Jews have diverse political interests. As a general rule, traditional and secular Jews have different political views and emphasis on what is in the best interests of Israel than ultra-Orthodox and Orthodox Jews. These various segments of Jews make up the different political parties in Israel. Israel has a parliamentary government system known as the Knesset. It consists of 120 members. In the return from Babylonian captivity in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, the leaders of the Jewish people to restore and rebuild the temple in Jerusalem were known as the Men of the Great Assembly. There were 120 members of the Men of the Great Assembly. The term Knesset is connected with the ancient Great Assembly of 120 scribes, sages, and prophets associated with the period of time from the end of the biblical prophets to the time of the development of rabbinic Judaism. Each Knesset member is elected to a 4-year term subject to a vote of the Knesset to hold early elections. Knesset seats are allocated among the various parties using a party list of proportional representation. Israel requires a political party to meet an election threshold of 2% of the overall vote to be allocated a Knesset seat. Parties select their candidates using a closed list. Thus, voters select a party of their choice, not a specific candidate. Following the establishment of the State of Israel in 1948, the first national elections took place in 1949. It was known as the first Knesset. The current government of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who was elected in 2009, is known as the 18th Knesset. Its term expires with the new elections on January the 22nd. There are 18 political parties in Israel represented in the 18th Knesset, consisting of 12 political lists. In Israel, political parties can join with each other to form an election list. In order to form a government, you need a ruling majority of 61 members. Because no single party in Israel has gotten elected to receive a majority of Knesset seats, the political party who receives the most votes has a right to form a coalition government. The current Israeli government is considered to be a center-right government. It consists of the political party of Benjamin Netanyahu, known as the Likud Party, which is a nationalistic center party who has historically supported the religious ultra-Orthodox parties. The coalition partners with Likud are Israel Beiteinu, which is a Russian Jewish party, the Independence Party of current Defense Minister Ehud Barak, who formerly led the Labor Party, which is a socio-economic left-wing party, Shas, which is a Sephardic Orthodox party, United Torah Judaism, which is an Ashkenazi Orthodox party, and Jewish Home, which is a nationalistic right-wing party. Major political issues driving the current elections in Israel are the Israeli-Palestinian peace process, socio-economic issues, and the role of the ultra-Orthodox in Israeli society. Presently, most of the ultra-Orthodox in Israel are exempted from serving in the Israeli army and receive governmental benefits for studying Torah in the Orthodox schools of study. Israel's political parties represent these different issues. The longing for Jews to have their own homeland and settle in the land of Israel in the late 1880s was known as the Zionist movement. Theodore Herzl was considered the father of the modern Zionist movement. In 1896, Herzl published his book, The Jewish State, calling for Jews to migrate to Palestine and worked to establish a Jewish homeland. Through the influence of Herzl, a worldwide Jewish agency was established, known as the First Zionist Congress, who met in Basel, Switzerland in 1897. The first Jews to migrate to Israel in the late 1800s and early 1900s were not motivated to do so for religious reasons, but because of practical considerations. They wanted to flee centuries of exile and persecution of the Jewish people living in the nations of the world where they have been scattered. As a result, we can say that the modern state of Israel was birthed from a secular Zionist movement and not from a biblical Zionist movement. Biblical Zionism is rooted in embracing the covenant made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, wherein the God of Israel gave the land of Israel as an inheritance to the 12 tribes of Israel. When an assembly of Arab nations attacked Israel in June 1967 with the goal to drive the Jews into the Mediterranean Sea and lost the war, it set the stage for the current controversy regarding the pre-1967 lands of Judea and Samaria, more commonly referred to as the West Bank, which prior to June 1967 was in the hands of the Jordanians. Jews began to settle in the West Bank with the encouragement of the State of Israel for practical and religious reasons. Once Israel conquered the territory in a war of self-defense, it had a concern to control the area to maintain its security until a solution was found. Therefore, there was a practical consideration for a Jewish presence in the West Bank. Religious Jews wanted to live in the West Bank or Judea Samaria to lay claim to the land promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The nations of the world, led by the United States, have tried to solve the issue with a solution calling for Israel to withdraw from the lands it conquered in the 1967 War of Self-Defense for a promise of peace and security. This was the formula of UN Resolutions 242 and 338, which passed the UN Security Council following the 1967 war and the 1973 Yom Kippur War. This principle has been incorporated into the 1993 Oslo Accords and the Roadmap for Peace proposed by the Quartet of Middle East Peace Mediators, consisting of the United States, the European Union, Russia, and the United Nations, outlined in a June 24, 2002 speech by former U.S. President George W. Bush, calling for an independent Palestinian state living side by side with the State of Israel in peace. The details of the Roadmap for Peace was released on April 30, 2003. Israel accepted the Roadmap for Peace in principle but announced 14 conditions to the plan. President Bush seemed to accede to the concerns of Israel that Israel be allowed to keep the large Jewish settlement blocks in any final status agreement and that the Palestinian refugees would only be allowed to settle in a future state of Palestine by writing in a letter to then Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon on April 14, 2004, which said, "In light of new realities on the ground, including already existing major Israeli population centers, it is unrealistic that the outcome of final status negotiations will be a full and complete return to the armistice lines of 1949, and all previous efforts to negotiate a two-state solution have reached the same conclusion. It is realistic to expect that any final status agreement will only be achieved on the basis of mutually agreed changes that reflect these realities." However, on May 26, 2005, Bush seemed to have changed his position by saying that any changes to the June 1967 borders would have to be agreed upon by both sides by saying the following: "Any final status agreement must be reached between the two parties, and changes to the 1949 armistice lines must be mutually agreed to. A viable two-state solution must ensure contiguity of the West Bank in a state of scattered territories will not work. There must also be a meaningful linkage between the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. This is the position of the United States today. It will be the position of the United States at the time of final status negotiations." After Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was elected in 2009, he wanted the Bush letter to Ariel Sharon of April 2004 to be affirmed by President Obama. Obama refused. Instead, in May 2011, Obama called upon a Palestinian state based upon 1967 borders with agreed land swaps. In order to show his willingness to the international community to work with them and the PLO on the issue, Netanyahu announced in 2009 his support for a demilitarized Palestinian state. He also announced a 10-month settlement freeze in the West Bank in November of 2009, which would extend into September 2010. The Palestinians wanted the settlement freeze to include East Jerusalem. So did President Obama. However, Netanyahu refused. As a result, Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas insisted that he would not hold direct peace talks with Israel unless they agreed to a settlement freeze in the West Bank and East Jerusalem, and also agreed that the peace talks would be based upon a Palestinian state on 67 borders with East Jerusalem as its capital. When the Palestinians couldn't get Israel to agree, they decided to get recognition for a Palestinian state with East Jerusalem as its capital with a petition at the UN General Assembly. The petition was approved on November the 29th, 2012. Israel responded by announcing that they would withhold tax collections to the Palestinians and announced further building in the West Bank and East Jerusalem. This caused a diplomatic outrage within the international community, where Israel was sternly rebuked and a demand was made upon them to stop settlement construction. In the last several days, there has been reports that Britain and France, with the support of Germany, will announce a new Middle East peace plan that supports a Palestinian state based upon 67 borders with East Jerusalem as its capital, and demand that Israel freeze building Jewish homes in the West Bank and East Jerusalem. The Israeli political parties are divided whether they should support the call for a Palestinian state with East Jerusalem as its capital, whose rejection would likely bring about the international isolation of Israel, or whether they should reject the calls by the Palestinians in the international community that East Jerusalem be a capital of a Palestinian state, and calling for the large settlement blocks to be dismantled. Those political parties who are calling for Israel to agree to direct peace talks with the Palestinians after the Israeli elections, based upon the expected new proposal by Britain and France that a Palestinian state be based upon 1967 borders with East Jerusalem as its capital, argue that the future of Israel should be based on a democratic Jewish state with a Jewish majority in the state of Israel. This could be called the promotion of secular Zionism. Those political parties that do not want to see Jerusalem divided and want to keep the large Jewish settlement blocks in the West Bank, or even annex part of the West Bank, could be seen as promoting a more biblical Zionist future, also called a Greater Israel. Those political parties which want to see a secular Zionist future are Labor, Hatnua, or the party of Zippy Livni, who formerly led peace negotiations with the Palestinians under the government of former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, and Yesh Atid, a party established for this election by Israeli journalist Yair Lapid. Those political parties who want to see a nationalistic Zionist future are Jewish Home and the ultra-Orthodox parties of Shas and United Torah Judaism. The political party of Benjamin Netanyahu, the Likud, are running on a joint election list with the Russian Jewish Party of Israel, Betenu, under the leadership of current Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and they are widely expected, according to the polls, to win the January 22nd elections. Given the call by the international community for direct peace talks between Israel and the Palestinians, based upon a Palestinian state on 67 borders with East Jerusalem as its capital, following the forming of an Israeli government, Netanyahu will have a major decision to make. Will Netanyahu choose to form a secular Zionist or a national Zionist government? The future of Zionism in Israel is at a political crossroads. Will he form a center-left secular Zionist government to deal with the international pressure, or will he form a center-right nationalistic Zionist government and reject the call of the international community to divide Jerusalem? Only time will tell, but the decision has major prophetic, biblical implications and will help to determine the future destiny of Israel and the future destiny of the world, as the Bible prophesies in Zechariah 14 that the nations will divide the city of Jerusalem, which will bring about the judgment of the nations and the return of Yeshua to set his feet upon the Mount of Olives to establish his kingdom on the earth, with Israel being the head of all nations. Well, this covers the preview of the upcoming Israeli elections scheduled for January the 22nd. Until we do it again, Shalom, in Yeshua the Messiah, Amen.